As we look at the subject of discipline, I'm always grateful for little things that remind me of how important this subject is. And if you read the Daily Bread, which I hope that you do, by the way, the new ones are out in the literature rack and for the next 3 months, and we hope that you'll pick them up. But if you read it yesterday, I want to just read a little of what was in it because it's so appropriate in light of the subject before us. It's entitled Submission to Authority. Be filled with the Spirit, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Ephesians 5, 18 and 21. God requires that we obey leaders to whom he has given authority. This is the principle taught in Numbers 12. Moses was appointed by God to lead the people of Israel out of Egyptian slavery and into the promised land. Miriam and Aaron thought he made a mistake when he chose an Ethiopian woman for a wife, and they used it to question his leadership. They said, "Has the Lord not spoken through us also?" God showed his displeasure with their rebellious attitude by afflicting Miriam with leprosy. Submission to authority is an absolute necessity for a healthy society. This doesn't mean blind, servile obedience. If, for example, we're told to do something contrary to God's law, we must obey God rather than men, Acts 5:29 states. Yet parents in the home, supervisors in the workplace, officials in government, though imperfect, have been placed in their positions either by God's direction or permission, and he wants us to obey them. As Christians, we should set the pattern for others. If we give the Holy Spirit control of our lives, we will develop a submissive spirit. What an important statement. We will then glorify God and be good examples of submission to authority. He who refuses to be controlled by others has never learned to control himself. What a good statement. And how it brings into perspective this outline, which I have copied mostly from Bill Gothard's pastor's seminars. Most of what I'm preaching to you is not from him, but it's supplementary. And we're in point three of your outline. We have discussed role modeling, what you intend to teach, how that love and encouragement must precede correction. And last week on Mother's Day, we began to talk about training your child to seek your approval and to delight in gaining wisdom. And we talked about how we enable our children to seek our approval. We talked about the importance of establishing relationship. All of us need intimacy with our parents. It's a major, major part of discipline. Unless it is there, discipline will greatly suffer, if not fail entirely, no matter how much you love your children. Unless you have intimate relationship so that there's communication flowing back and forth between you, your discipline will probably fail. We also talked about establishing authority, how important that is. And just as we saw in this devotional, it has everything to do with your whole attitude throughout life, toward government, toward your boss, as a parent. Whether or not authority has been established. And I'm not going to preach that sermon again. I preached last week. If you didn't hear it, I hope you'll order the tape. I think it's one of the most important statements on responsibility of discipline that you could listen to. But we come now to the point about training your child to delight in gaining wisdom. Now you'll notice in our text how strongly that comes out. Notice verse 13 says, "Do not withhold discipline from your child." So it's about discipline. But when you come to verse 15, notice, "My son, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad." Verse 19, "Listen, my son, and be wise, and keep your heart on the right path." Verse 23, "Buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, and understanding." And then the next verse, "He who has a wise son delights in him." And in the 10th chapter and verse 1, we have that statement, the Proverbs of Solomon: "A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son grief to his mother." Wisdom. How do you train your child to delight in gaining wisdom? What a worthy topic. And I hope you'll be stimulated. In his writings, Solomon uses the word wisdom as a very desirable thing for every one of us. He calls us to seek it diligently, to desire it directly, 82 times in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. And then when you add to that the many other words or synonyms that are close to wisdom, the number goes all the way up to somewhere near 200 times. In those two rather short books, the wisest man who ever lived, under the inspiration and guidance of the Spirit of God, says to you and me, you must desire the jewel of wisdom. You must want it and seek it with all of your heart. I wonder if you have that attitude. I wonder also, parents, have you ever understood the importance of training your children to delight in gaining wisdom? How do you do that? Well, first of all, your child must know that the key to wisdom is the Bible. It's God's holy word. There is no other place to go for wisdom but to the Scripture. Oh, I know that parents can communicate wisdom to their children, but only as they've received it from the Word. And you'll see that more and more as I talk this morning. Wisdom is what you get out of the Scripture. It's what you understand God to say about the issues of life. And unless you understand that, you won't know where to look. You won't know what it is. You won't know how to achieve it. Now, wisdom is not just something set forth by Solomon. It's really the theme of the whole Bible. Tell us what wisdom is in the New Testament, or found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And you might turn to that chapter. Most of us haven't looked at this portion as speaking about wisdom and how you get it, but it really has application. Notice verse 14 of that third chapter of 2 Timothy. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of because you know those from whom you learned it. He's talking about, of course, his godly mother and grandmother, and probably Paul himself. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Wisdom comes from knowing the Holy Scriptures, not just about how to be saved, but how to walk in the salvation of the Lord in all the issues of life. That's what the rest of the verses say. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for wisdom in teaching, for wisdom in rebuking, for wisdom in correcting, for wisdom in training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Wisdom comes from understanding what the Scripture says about the issues of life. Unless your child knows that, he will never know where to even look for wisdom. And how tragic it is to live in our culture where real wisdom is so available, and yet so avoided and so totally neglected. If you were to say in the average secular setting what I'm going to say right now, you'd be laughed to scorn. And you know why that is? Because they're not wise. And they don't know where wisdom is. For example, supposing a mechanical engineer that you know would tell you that he's working on some invention that's going to make it possible for him to roll a large, heavy object from one place to another. And he's spending hours and hours trying to invent something that's going to enable him to do that. And you'd laugh him to scorn. Because you know, the wheel has been invented for a long, long time. And here's a mechanical engineer who's trying to reinvent the wheel. Or supposing you know an astronomer. And he has set out to prove to you and the world that the earth is really flat. When you know and I know that our astronauts have taken pictures from outer space of our earth, and there it is in the sky, it's not flat, it's a big ball. And you would say to that astronomer, what's the matter with you? You've lost your marbles. And believe it or not, there are some people who are still trying to prove that the earth is flat. In spite of all the evidence. Well, in matters of morals, in matters of spiritual values, in matters of ethics, in matters that really matter, we have guidance as to wisdom about these things. And the world is chucking it all. They don't know where wisdom is. And they don't know what it is. And they're still trying to find out. In all of the folly of their search. So your child must know the key to wisdom is the Bible. If he knows that, he's gone a long way toward gaining wisdom. But he also must know and understand a concise, clear definition of what wisdom is. If someone were to say to you, write out What is wisdom? How would you define it? Well, let me just say, it's not being clever. It's not being shrewd and skillful. It's not somebody who has a lot of smarts, somebody who's a very intelligent person, a man who has a lot of learning. He may not be wise at all. In fact, one of the wisest pastors I have ever known never had even 1 hour in a Bible college or a seminary. He doesn't know any Greek or Hebrew. But he's one of the wisest pastors I've ever known. He did probably more for me as a young boy growing up to know God than any other person other than my parents. He was wise. What is wisdom? Wisdom, I like the definition Bill Gothard has given to us. I think it's the best I've ever read. Wisdom is gaining the knowledge and understanding to see things from God's point of view. Did you hear that? Wisdom is gaining the knowledge and understanding to see things from God's point of view. And that makes sense. If there's somebody who really is perfect, who understands everything, who's omniscient, and who's eternal and omnipotent, if you, as a mere mortal human being, on any given subject concerning the issues of life, if you come to understand how God sees that thing, you're wise. That's what wisdom is. When your child understands that, he knows at least where to go to find out what wisdom is on any given subject. Now, how does your child know and understand how to gain wisdom? Let me suggest some very important things about this. First and foremost, he must know what God's Word says on that subject. Now, one of the reasons this is so important in this matter of discipline is that unless your child knows what his attitude toward discipline ought to be, from God's perspective, he'll never learn to submit to discipline. And just take this matter of parental discipline itself. What is wisdom about that? Well, the first thing is that we must know that the Bible says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise that it may go well with you and you may live long on the earth. Wow! That's powerful stuff. That's wisdom on the subject of discipline and parental authority. You know that. That's what God says. You've gone a long way toward wisdom. But you're not there yet. You must be able to put it into practice. And that's where most of us break down. We know what God's perspective is. We see it from God's point of view, but maybe we don't even reject it. Maybe we don't even rebel against it. We just can't live it. So wisdom, it's not enough just to know it. Wisdom means you understand God's perspective of how you live it out. Now, what does that require? First of all, wisdom demands a personal relationship with the God of wisdom. That's another way of saying wisdom demands new birth. Wisdom demands that you become a Christian. That by the work of regeneration, by the work of Jesus Christ coming into your life, you're given a new nature. And so if you're going to train your child to desire wisdom, to delight in gaining wisdom, you must begin not just by teaching him the word of God, but with the understanding that child needs to come to know what it is to put his faith in Christ and get a new heart and a new nature. And until that happens, wisdom will fly by him because he's never able to put it into practice until the miracle of new birth comes and a new heart and a new life. And I dare to say, if I were to ask you to lift your hands, how many of you came to know Jesus Christ in eternal life through your parents' influence? I know over half of the congregation, probably near 80%, would lift your hands and say it was through the influence, maybe not directly leading you to pray to receive Christ, but through their having you in Sunday school and vacation Bible school and under the influence and ministry of God's word, until that day came when the Holy Spirit knocked at the door of your life and you opened your heart and received Christ. And when that happens, you have the potential to live out wisdom. But you notice I said, you have the potential to live out wisdom. Because you can be a born-again Christian, and you can know what wisdom is, and you can understand what God's word says on a subject, but that still doesn't mean you're living it and walking it. How does that happen? Well, gaining wisdom demands a knowledge of wisdom. To know and understand what God's word says on various issues of life. And that's why it's so important to memorize the word of God. But even beyond that, gaining wisdom means that we must be able to live it out. And on the positive side of that, it means you learn to walk in the Holy Spirit. Nobody's going to live out wisdom, even though he's born again, unless he learns every day to submit his whole person and being to the control of the Spirit of God and looks to the Spirit of God to enable him to walk in the wisdom that he knows. It's absolutely essential. But he also must know something else. He must know how to overcome the negative hindrances to walking in wisdom. And that's part of wisdom. And I don't have time to develop all of those, but you've heard me deal with the three great negative hindrances to you as a Christian walking in wisdom. It's the world. It's the flesh, your old sin nature, and it's Satan. And if you're going to walk in wisdom, you need to know how to overcome each one of those. Because the world is going to blast you with its knowledge and what it thinks is wisdom. And dear parents, your children don't have a chance to know wisdom if you're leaving it all to the public schools. And I'm not here to blast the public schools. I'm grateful for the public schools. I'm not grateful for some of the things they're saying to our children. But I'm grateful for the knowledge that's available there about many things that they need to know. But if they're to know wisdom about morality, about ethics, about spiritual values, they'll never get it at the school. The school is doing everything to keep it away from them. Where do they gain it? By knowing the word. I love the way John put it when he said, how do you overcome the world? It's our faith. When you go to the zoo, as I have done, and you read some of the statements that are put on those little placards in front of the animals about how this animal evolved, what does that do to you? It makes me smile. And I shake my head and say, the world doesn't know. God created the animals the way he wanted them, according to divine plan. Where did I learn that? Not by my cleverness. How did I pass that on to my children? Not by my cleverness or my prejudice. The faith. You see, when it speaks of faith there, it's speaking of a body of truth. And when your children know the truth, they know how to overcome the world. How about the flesh? How do you overcome your old sin nature that wants to make you rebellious against your parents? Get your own way and go your own way? Wants to make you immoral and unclean? How do you overcome that? Well, first of all, you just be honest with yourself and say, Lord, that old wicked nature of mine wants to be rebellious, wants to be immoral, wants to be full of hate and rage. But I'm dead with Christ to the rule of that. And I ask the Holy Spirit now to replace that with his control. I ask the Holy Spirit to give me love and joy and peace. Now, such a simple formula, but such an important one if you're going to live out wisdom. What about the spiritual kingdom of darkness that's coming so close to us in these days? In the young people's music, which I hope they're not listening to. In the world system of entertainment. In peer group pressure. How do you overcome the powers of darkness? Your union with Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit. Clothing yourself with the whole armor of God. Devoting yourself to allness of prayer. You see, training your children to seek and delight in wisdom means that you take them further than just showing them where it is. You take them further than defining it very carefully so that upon any given subject, wisdom is being able to see it from God's perspective. It means even taking them further than just telling them they need to be born from above and even helping them come to know Christ. Wisdom means that you help them to know how to put it into practice when the world system comes against them and their own flesh comes against them and Satan's kingdom comes against them. And so they're able to gain wisdom. Wisdom. By the grace of God. Let us pray. Oh, our Heavenly Father, we live in such a day of confusion where in the matters of morals and ethics and spiritual values, the world system has gone back to try to invent the wheel. And oh, the folly of it all. Thank you that you've given us all that we need for wisdom. Help us to communicate it well to our children. For Jesus' sake, amen.